Deborah, When God Uses a Woman. It's the title of our message taken from Judges chapter 4, verses 1 to 24. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. She was called the mother of in Israel. Judges 5, verse 7. So let all thine enemies perish, O Lord, but let them that love him be as the sun when he goeth forth in his might, and the land had rest 40 years. Judges chapter 5, verse 31. May we summarize the lessons that we have learned in the first three chapters of the book of Judges in four practical points as a prayer. Teach me, Lord, the evil of sin and the need for practical separation unto holiness. The people of Israel was not able to practice biblical separation. They did not separate themselves from the influence of the people of the land, and how the beliefs, the system, the lifestyle infected them, and they were made rendered ineffective for the Lord. Help me never make an intimate friend of anyone who is not a friend of God. To make close friends of those who do not know God, who have a different understanding of life, is great danger to our souls. It is possible for me with known weaknesses yet serve God, so help me, Lord. The Lord can use us despite our weaknesses, in spite of our weaknesses, when we would make ourselves available, be willing to obey and follow him. Help me to determine in my heart, as long as I live, to make the Bible my guide and advisor, with God's word with us to help us as our guide. We would be spiritually stable and strong. We have three thoughts today on the person of Deborah, when God uses a woman. Firstly, spiritually strong, stable and mature, verse 4 to 7. A nursing mother, verse 4, 5, 7 and 9. A supportive mentor, the third thought, from verse 6 to 24. Judges 4 verse 1 opens with the children of Israel again doing evil in the sight of the Lord. When Ehud, you remember, he was the judge of Israel, that crippled man who assassinated the enemy's king, and how the enemy was subdued under him. And when he judged Israel, there was peace in the land. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin after Ehud's death, to the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, the general, which dwelt in Hazeroth, Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. Since when, we say, that the enemy's chariot become powerful? Well, when Israel came out of Egypt, they were all drowned in the Red Sea. And we read in Judges chapter 1 how because of compromise, the children of Israel became weak. Their enemies became strong, and the chariots became formidable to the people of Israel. The judges of Israel not only delivered the children of Israel from their oppressors, but also restrained the hands of the people from idolatry during their reign. But when the judges passed on, Israel returns to wallow in the mud of idolatry. After Ehud was dead, Israel went a whoring after other gods. When the no one to look out for them, look over them. Well, they became a law to themselves. They fell into the chastity will of God. And we can observe here that there was sufficient time given for the Canaanites to become strong and arm themselves with the manufacture of 900 chariots of iron. These chariots were the most sophisticated fighting machines of biblical times. This formidable enemy oppressed Israel for 20 long years. The account of the judgeship of Deborah is recorded in Judges chapter 4 and chapter 5. We shall examine in chapter 4 in the light of the parallel passages in Judges chapter 5 to furnish a clearer picture for our study, how the Lord raised a woman to be judge and prophetess. Her name was Deborah. The name Deborah means bee. A bee symbolizes constant activity. A busy bee is a term that we know, showing industrious diligence and care in the work she was called to do. We have here a map in the figure that is given in page 3 of your notes. Deborah judged Israel between Bethel and Ramah in Mount Ephraim. You'll be able to see in the map there, right at the bottom right, is the Dead Sea. And you would see also the Jordan River flowing out, joining into the Sea of Galilee up north. And on the left, you would see Bethel and Ramah there, and you would see Deborah. And in the circle there, 4A. The first thought, Deborah was one who was spiritually strong, stable, and mature. God gives wisdom to her to exercise authority as judge to deliver Israel from their bondage of idolatry. Deborah exercised her judicial duties from the palm tree that bears her name. As judge, Deborah rules Israel, dispensing righteousness, justice, and mercy. It takes a woman of strong convictions and character to stand up against sin and rebellion, ruling for 40 years to give Israel rest. Judges 5, verse 31. She was also a prophetess. It symbolized a high office as a mouthpiece for God, which in today's context is a minister of the word, Judges 4, verses 4 to 5. It takes much courage for one to stand between God and men. She must not be a respecter of persons, but to say what God says, every word of it, without fear or apology. The prophecy by Deborah for the defeat of the Canaanites and the king Jabin's demise by the hand of the woman Jael came true, affirming her position as a true prophetess. Judges 4, verse 7, verse 23, verse 9, and verse 21. And we see illustration of women in the ministry in the Bible, that God uses women and God has a blessed place for women to serve in his kingdom. Certainly, women are not inferior to men. It is not a question of ability, but of function. This is not an instant for justifying the ordination of women pastors or elders. Women have an important role to submit to male leadership in the church. The reason is simply God's order of creation, as Paul taught in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of a woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Eldership is not biblical, it's not a biblical option for the Christian woman. But we have deaconesses in Romans 16, verse 1 to 2, though not many, who assist pastors and elders in the church. In the period of the judges, there were 12 judges raised of God. Only one was a woman. certainly, when there was no man to stand in the gap, God raised a mother of Israel to stand in the gap. We have the testimony of Hudson Taylor. He was the founder of the Inland China Mission, later renamed the Overseas Mission Fellowship, the OMF. In the day when the church evades the role of women in spiritual leadership, he so respects the strength, potential, leadership and faith of women that he ignored the conventions of his time to give unprecedented responsibilities and opportunities to the women of his nation. These women served with him as missionaries in the mission field of China. Titus 2, verse 3 to 5, gives to us the value of mature Christian women in the church. The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Many are full-time workers to ladies and children in their respective congregations. And what is the application? Well, it's a lesson for the men who are too weak to lead in the church, that the mantle had to fall on a woman. In the Bible, there are accounts where God uses a woman. Miriam was a prophetess, Exodus 15, verse 20. In the New Testament, the four daughters of Philip, in Acts 21, verse 4, were raised up of God as prophetesses to preach the gospel God has used for women in his vineyard. And here we see Deborah as a nursing mother. That's our second thought. Judges 4, verse 4, reference to Judges 5, verse 7 and 9. Her husband was Lepidoth, the name Lepidoth, from the noun that means a torch or a lamp, signifies a fiery light as a torch that Gideon held, Judges 7, verse 16. Deborah was also a wife. Here we cannot say that Deborah was the master of her own home, although she was a prophetess and judge of Israel. Her feminine quality shone through, for she was addressed a mother of Israel. In Judges 5, verse 9, Deborah testified that her heart is toward the governors of Israel that offered themselves willingly among the people. The maternal instinct shone through as one who is gentle and cares, as the mother hen protecting and defending her chicks against aggressors. And the Apostle Paul illustrates this when he said concerning the quality of his pastoral care for Christians in Thessalonica. He mentions this in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 7. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children. It shows parental gentleness, born of love, like a nursing mother. As a mother of Israel, she excels in how she feeds Israel with tender, loving care. And what is used to feed Israel? Well, it was God's word, God's instruction. Israel may be said to heed Proverbs 1, verse 8. My son, hear the instructions of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Indeed, Deborah was able to bring forth the word of God to judge Israel, and there was rest for Israel under her judgeship. Thirdly, we see her as a supportive mentor from verse 6 to 24. She chose faithful Barak to lead Israel against her oppressors, the Canaanites and their king in Hazor, Jabin. She chose according to God's choice of Barak to lead Israel into battle against their enemies. Barak underestimated God's estimate of him. He seemed to have difficulty believing he was capable of performing a task of such spiritual magnitude. Barak failed to see that it is God who enables us to do any task that he has called us to do, and how we often feel the cause of Christ can go on without us playing an obvious part. After all, Deborah has been established as judge and leader. Who was he then to lead Israel's army? Furthermore, when he saw the seemingly insurmountable might of the enemy, he crumbled. Deborah accompanied and supported Barak at his request all the way into the battlefield until the final victory over the oppressing Canaanite army that was led by the general Sisera, verse 8 and verse 9. It must be said here of Barak, a God-honoring leader is a good follower. She followed the judgeship of the leading of Deborah. Although he was hesitant at the beginning, he finally obeyed and led the army of Israel to victory. Deborah, together with Barak, gave honor and glory to God in thanksgiving for delivering Israel from her oppressor with a poetic Hebrew song, as recorded in Judges chapter 5. If you are a leader, the greatest blessing would have to be would be to have disciplined and dedicated followers who have the capacity to believe and obey. Barak did according to what Deborah has instructed him. It must be said here of Barak, a God-honoring leader is a good follower. Unless we learn how to obey authority, how can we lead? Barak followed well. Although the task seemed impossible, with just 10,000 men together in the slopes of Mount Tabor against an overwhelming infantry of the Canaanite army, he was to fight the Canaanites in the flat plains of Ashkelon, where the chariots of the army were most effective. Barak followed the stipulated instructions given by Deborah, as recorded in Judges 4, verse 7. And I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon, Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thine hand. The victory plan has already been predetermined by God. Barak was to be God's instrument to carry out the plan to the glory of God. So when we fight God's battle, it is the Lord that gives the strategy. It is the Lord that enables his people to wage a good warfare for his honor and glory. Barak was to be God's instrument to carry out the plan to the glory of God. Barak was highlighted as the man of true faith in Hebrews 11, verse 32. What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed vigilant, valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. The triumphant battle against the oppressor. We see as the Canaanite army drew to the site of Mount Tabor. You see here in your notes in page 7, quite faintly, but you'll be able to still see the isolated hill of Mount Tabor, the scene of Barak's victory over the Canaanite forces of Caesarea. As the Canaanite army drew to the site of Mount Tabor, the rain came. God sent the rain, and the plain became a mud pool, and the wheels of the chariots were stuck in the mud, rendering them ineffective for battle. This gave the soldiers of Israel easy targets. The shock of the overflowing banks of the Kishon River that rendered ineffective the deadly fighting machines of the Canaanites put them in disarray. God had a field day pursuing, or Israel had a field day pursuing and defeating the enemy, how ineffective was Baal, the Canaanite god of the storm. God confounded the enemy. They were defeated at their own strength. The Canaanites were defeated on home ground. With God on our side, victory is indeed assured. You'll be able to see in page 7 the map of Deborah and Barak's battle with the Canaanite army. You'll be able to see the Canaanite forces attacking Barak near Mount Tabor, and the Israelite forces rally to Barak from the tribes of Naphtali, Zebulun, Asher, Issachar, Ephraim, and Manasseh. And the Canaanite forces, how the Canaanite forces were routed, how the chariots stick in Kishon River, and Sisera, how he fled on foot. Only 6 of Israel's 12 tribes fought the battle against the enemies: Naphtali, Asher, Zebulun, Issachar, Manasseh, Ephraim. While the other tribes did not join in the battle. Judges 5, verse 15 to 17. Dan, Reuben, Gilead, Benjamin, consisting of the half-tribe of Gad and half-tribe of Manasseh, did not fight. Dan was too busy trading. Reuben decided to stay home. Gad and Manasseh did not consider themselves part of the team, since they occupy a territory at the fringe of the Promised Land. Their non-committal attitude was heinous in the sight of God. And this is the same in the church today. There are those who are uncommitted, half-hearted, ineffective, and nominal members. How can the Lord's work advance with soldiers that are not committed to the battle? God can use a woman in the church to fulfill his will. These are the qualities that are gleaned of a woman who excelled in God's service: spiritually strong, stable, and mature, well-grounded in God's word and in living out his word in her life. God uses a woman with the quality of a nursing mother, gentle and supportive. God can use a woman in mentoring others in their Christian walk so that they can be stable, mature, and reproducing disciples themselves. God can use a Deborah. He can also use a Barak. Would you consider consecrating yourself as a vessel for his use? May the Lord grant you a vision of his great commission yet unfulfilled. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy word. Strengthen us with thy peace and joy to do thy good will. This I ask and pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.